We're here live at the WGXC Acre Wave Farm, and joining us right now are William Lawrence, the Republican Greene County legislator from Cairo, and Charles Lake, a local activist who wants to talk about styrofoam, and I guess styrofoam food containers mostly?
Well, actually, the chemical that comes out of polystyrene food containers or styrofoam is styrene. So what we're looking to do is get rid of the styrene because that causes all kinds of health issues.
The poly's okay?
The poly's not okay, but still, if you don't have the styrene, you don't have the poly. So, and styrene attacks the central nervous system. Major side effects is depression, migraine, migraine-induced stroke, diabetes, hypertension, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So it tears the body apart, and it takes time. And styrene is only one chemical in tobacco smoke, yet it mirrors the side effects of tobacco smoke. So it tells you how bad it is. Everybody talks about the nicotine. The nicotine's the hook. The styrene is what tears the body apart.
And if you're listening on the radio, that's Charles Lake talking. He's on your right if you're staring into your speakers, and Bill Lawrence is over there laughing on his left. And so is it a human health problem or an environmental health problem, or both, I guess?
It's both. Human-wise, they've already, in 2006 and now in 2010, they've linked the chemical styrene to autism, which has been running rapid. And back in 79, they actually linked styrene to diabetes, but nobody took notice of it. And that's why diabetes is a huge epidemic now.
And do you get this from eating the food out of the container or from breaking down in the ground?
We get it from eating the hotter the fluid or the greasier the food that comes into containers. If you got a cup of coffee in a styrofoam cup and you look at the top of it before you pour your milk in, you see like an oil slick on the top. That's the styrene and the benzene that's leaching out of the cup. They're oil products that these cups are made out of.
And you didn't order that when you ordered your
coffee. You didn't order, right. But the FDA has been putting styrene in our food for the last 60 years. It's not the FDA. The FDA legalized it. So therefore, in 2015, several medical groups got together and petitioned the FDA to eliminate it as a food additive, because it violates the FDA's own rules. And in 2016, the styrene lobby petitioned the FDA to eliminate it as a food additive. And the FDA, I check every 2 weeks, and I haven't seen where they took any of the petitions into account yet.
And how did you get involved in styrofoam?
I was a trucker. And I used to unload these polystyrene food containers at various food warehouses here in the Northeast. And we used to haul asbestos one way and food product the other.
Oh, boy. You had it coming and going, huh?
Well, it's still legal to this day. You can haul asbestos and toxic waste one way and food product the other. And it's totally legal. But the fact I'm making is that these were enclosed trailers. If you're hauling asbestos, you have to have an enclosed trailer that don't have any holes in it. And here we're hauling styrofoam. So any of the odor that comes out of these, and when they're made new, they're pressed. It's like there's a 4 or 5 foot sheet that's miles long, and they get put onto and they come through the machines and they're pressed. And in 1992, the styrene limit for the workers, the industry, was 100 parts per million, and they just knocked it down to 50 in 1992. So what they did to get rid of all the extra styrene was they put big hoods over the machine and just blew it out into the world. And then again in 2006, I believe it was, they knocked the styrene level from 50 down to 20 parts per million. But in 92, when I was picking these up, they were just putting the hoods over the machines and everything. So a lot of the styrene that if you touched them when they came off the conveyor belt, they were oily. And that's the chemical coming to the top, because when they're fresh pressed, they're still warm. So, you know, we were getting exposed that way. You put them in a sealed container, and then you open the door to that sealed container, and you're working in it for 6 to 8 hours. You're absorbing all that. It goes through your pores. You're inhaling it. And we used to be real thirsty, and you feel like you're almost drunk. And then you're allowed to drive an 18-wheeler down the road. And there's nothing they can do about it, because you're not drunk, but you actually are mentally
affected. Definitely
affected.
Yeah.
And they found that this here has been affecting especially the kids more than, and our government in on top of it. Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease is still saying that a child is affected the same as an adult, when in fact, if you go to Harvard School of Medicine and all these schools that do medical research, they show that a child is much more susceptible to the effects of styrene than the adult, and it might be the reason why we have all the school violence and all this. And so they're still doing research on it, but they came out in 2006 and said it's just like lead.
And I'm guessing that we're still using styrofoam because it's cheaper?
Yes, it's cheaper. And a lot of the restaurants around here have already switched over. Mexican Radio, the barbecue place over in Hudson. If you order down at Barnwood down here and tell them you want it in a tin, they'll also give you a wheat fiber plate to go with it, so you can take it out of the tin and put it into the plate. You don't get that if you get the styrofoam. And like I said, the grease, you ever get french fries in a styrofoam clamshell, especially with cheese on it, and you open it up, and most of the styrofoam's gone? Where'd it go?
I don't know. It melted?
It melted into your food.
So that's not good.
Not good. It's just like putting it in a microwave to heat it up. The styrofoam will disintegrate.
So what should restaurants, I guess this is mostly restaurants, right, that use these?
No, actually it's the food. If you go down here to Hannaford or Price Chopper, and I've talked to Price Chopper, and they said that it wasn't feasible to do anything else, which it really is nowadays. But underneath your meat, you get the styrofoam. But in the restaurants, you got the clamshells with the hot food.
It's in a lot of places, yeah.
Yeah, and it loves the fat, you know, And it also, if you take a lemon peel or an orange peel and take a styrofoam cup, and I thought it was crazy, but you take and squeeze it, and it disintegrates the cup. It just melts right away. Hmm. So we're putting all these juices into these styrofoam cups and stuff, and it's just pulling all this chemical out.
And the fat just absorbs it, right?
The fat just absorbs it. They've done studies here in the U.S. back in the 90s, along with Sweden and Japan, and a woman's breast is basically fatty tissue. And they tested the milk, the breast milk, and it had 70% of the lifetime contaminants in 1 year of breastfeeding, but it's still equal to or better than the alternative. Because styrene, anything that burns creates styrene, benzene, and formaldehyde. So all the cars, the trucks, the home heating oil, the incinerators, the power plants, you know, we're just destroying ourselves. And makes me laugh. A lot of people scream when their electric bill goes up, but they won't put a solar panel on their house, you know. and they'll buy a $40,000 car. So, but that's another thing. But you know, it's you know, if we want to protect ourselves, there's certain ways we can do it. You know, especially in our houses and stuff. Furniture, the glue's made out of styrene or formaldehyde. The carpeting's all full of styrene, the foam backing, the piles themselves. And what do we do when we have a new baby? We redo the nursery. I tell people the best thing that they can do is to put a spider plant in the room with some other plants. But a spider plant is the only plant that actually eats styrene. So it will clear a 10 by 20 room of styrene in a matter of days. So the paint's got styrene in it. You know, everywhere we look, they use this stuff by the trillions of tons every year. So it's something that we really should get away from, all the plastic bottles and so forth and so on. We really should get away from, but it's so convenient. And everybody goes for the convenience, and then we have it in our landfills for forever. And, you know, they have made a machine. New York City banned polystyrene food containers on the pretense that they were not recyclable. And Dark Container sued and won because they developed a machine. It cost $500,000. But they developed a machine with this other company, and out in Indiana, they recycle the polystyrene, which is the red solo disky cups and all that. That's, you know, and they make it into plastic pellets and they resell them. So,
so Memorial Day weekend, if you're picnicking, you want to what's the alternative? What do you propose instead?
Well, they have wheat. Like I said, they have the wheat fiber plates. They have the sugarcane plates. They have a lot of alternatives. The things that really gets me is it's only 5 cents per plate difference, or per container difference than the polystyrene. Yet it don't cause the health concerns of polystyrene. And polystyrene is like tobacco smoke because it's the same chemical that's in the tobacco smoke. And we're just giving it to our children in a different form. But, you know, if we turn around and get away from it and at least limit our exposure to it, the human body can withstand some of it. But I mean, we're being overdosed by this stuff. It's in our food. More of it gets into our food from the packaging. Then it's in the air. And it's just one thing after another. So it really tears the body apart. And that's why people aren't living as long as our elders.
And I guess you're, Bill, here. You're here because there's a talk, or is it a proposal to ban styrofoam in the county, in Greene County, or in Columbia County, or?
First of all, good morning, Tom. It's good to be back on the radio, especially in Akron, New York. We, as the Greene County Legislature, did deal with the styrofoam issue back a few years ago when Mr. Lake came to me with his concerns about the effect of styrene, polystyrene, on the human body. And as you all know, we are all carbon-based animals, and styrene, polystyrene, toluene, benzene, they're all carbon-based materials as well. Just a matter of whether or not we're going to buy convenience over acceptable risk. And the acceptable risk in this case, I think, has been pretty much shown that polystyrene and styrofoam in general are not the best things for the human body to use. Now, we in Greene County thought we'd go through and progress step by step from the effects of styrofoam to the eventual elimination of it from our waste stream. And we did get some blowback from franchises that use a lot of it, whether it's Dunkin' Donuts, Burger King, McDonald's, or any of the other shops that use it in large quantities. But they have been sort of moving away from it as well, which is a good sign. We could not get off the first base, though, in Greene County, because I think the concern was that it would affect small businesses that have a small, profit margin, and they didn't want to spend a lot of more money on packaging. So back when Mr. Lake gave me his concerns about styrofoam, which I think were legitimate and certainly ones that should be aired, the Greene County Legislature's Public Safety Committee set up a group of meetings for this discussion of styrofoam in general. And we started out with the effects. We had Mr. Lake come in. He explained to him exactly like he did today what the effects were on him. And we tried to show that could happen to the general population. After that, we went step by step as to the concerns of styrene itself. I handed out the problems that came from styrene, the concerns about the waste of the waste reduction if we were to eliminate styrene. We had Dart Container actually come in. They heard about our proposal. They came in. They wanted to argue the contra to that. They said that styrene is safe, that it can be recycled, as he's already explained to your audience today. And we got to the point where we were looking at a local law. Now, the local law, which we proposed, would just eliminate the use of styrofoam polystyrene in large franchised operations, Burger King, McDonald's, and so on and so forth. It would be 15 or more nationwide. So the small companies in Greene County, the small mom-and-pop stores, would not be affected. However, maybe by example, the bigger franchises would then show that it can be done as cheaply as styrofoam is. And the thing with the human being is that we do have allergies, and you can see in the population today, allergies are becoming a bigger and bigger problem because more and more things that are either put into the air or into the water or into our food is becoming a problem for people to digest and to handle. And I think in order to reduce the risk of worse allergy reactions or worse poisoning reactions by things that we took for granted, even things like asbestos and benzene and mercury and insecticides, all those things that we once used all the time because we thought they were safe at the time have proven to be unsafe. And I think styrofoam now falls into that category. It might be a longer transition period from use to non-use. However, I think it should be started. Now, personally, I was hoping that New York State would begin the process and make a statewide ban. And I think that would be the easiest way for the New York State Legislature to adopt a law, as they've done in other states, to ban the use of styrofoam, especially in food packaging. But that hasn't been done. I mean, the governor has seen fit to do like plastic bags and things of that nature. However, styrofoam, I guess, has a bigger lobby in the political world than we do in Greene County. And I think we have to start just as other counties have done. Albany's done it. Dutchess, Ulster, they've all put bans on styrofoam use for food packaging. I think we should do the same thing. We never got off to a good start. We did have to the point where we had both sides represented. I had the law written up, but the jail, Greene County Jail, I don't know if you heard of that topic, Tom. The Greene County Jail became a big issue, and that took over most of my time, and I think the time of my colleagues. So this has been put on the back burner, but it's still in existence, and one that I want to pursue to see if we can't get it done, at least in, if not this year, early in the next term. And I think it's simple enough. It just basically bans the use of styrofoam in large franchises. They would have to go to some other acceptable packaging material, whether it's cardboard, paper materials, or the wheat-based or sugarcane-based items that I think can be made just as cheaply. And there would be eventually. If styrofoam is phased out, something else will come and take its place. There's no doubt about that. And it's a matter of whether we want to pay a few more cents for our safety and the safety of our children over the convenience of having something that's already in existence and seems to work, well, on the outside, it works perfectly well. It's the fact that it's the food sitting there, especially hot foods, may not be the best thing for your health. As a teacher for 35, 37 years, I drank coffee out of styrofoam cups for a long, long time, and I don't have any doubt that maybe it affected my system as well. And I think maybe people don't have that particular focus or intense use of styrofoam, but I think anytime we can cut out something that may have a probable carcinogen effect on our body, the better off we are.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Are the schools using styrofoam? Or
the schools, which a lot of them have gone to this operation where they hire somebody to come in and do the food services, that kind of franchise, I think, still uses like styrofoam cups for coffee. I still see it being used everywhere, styrofoam cups for coffee. And as simple as a simple thing as that is, hot coffee does, of course, cause the styrofoam to break down, just as water did with lead cups, lead goblets back in Rome. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. That's because of the lead intake of over years and years of lead being absorbed by water or wine or whatever was in the cup. It's a slow process, but it has a cumulative effect. And that's why I think for the safety of human beings in Greene County, we should at least start with the operations that are big, that can afford to do the transition, and then show that as a model for the smaller mom-and-pop stores.
And there's not really how many big franchise stores are there, or restaurants are there in the county?
There's only, what, 10? Maybe 10?
Yeah. The donut stores and the McDonald's and Burger King.
Walmarts, if they serve, I don't know if they serve what these two, they have their franchises in these stores, which sometimes, like Subways, give out things in styrofoam packaging. But I think a lot of them have now transitioned to something different, which is a good sign, because I believe they see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of that toxic material.
And have local restaurants switched over, or are there a lot of local restaurants that still have styrofoam? Or?
There's a lot of local restaurants, especially in Columbia County, where a lot of city people come up to go to the different stores over there, have switched over. Over here, we have Dalton Donuts. Mm-hmm. They use paper.
Paper.
Dunkin' Donuts had put out a big ad. They're switching from polystyrene food containers to paper by 2020. So there are a lot of companies seeing what's coming down the road because of all these medical experts saying that these containers are just putting us in deeper debt with our medical bills. People don't look at down the road. People look at right now. And I was one of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You talked about New York City. I have the, New York State. In 2006, they had a bill passed the assembly. And it passed until 2010, and then they changed it. But it had one little paragraph on the health effects to humans. And in 2010, they wrote up this, it went from a one-page bill to a multi-page bill, but it still had that one paragraph on the human health. And if this bill passes, well, it's already passed the Senate the Assembly since 2006. It's passed every 2 years. So the Senate hasn't picked up on it. Otherwise, it would have passed into law. But if it passed into law, dark container and other styrene industry would have a field day with it. Because they already sued New York City and won on the environmental effects. So if you're going on the environmental effects, it's just going to keep it in court longer, and it's going to keep affecting the human health longer. If they went after it on the health effects, you know, the diabetes, the mental illness, the autism, dark container would have. I went up against dark container in Pittsfield, Mass. And they kept saying, well, Mr. Lake don't know what he's talking about. Mr. Lake, he wasn't affected by polystyrene. It had been something else. And then when I started pulling out sheets from Harvard School of Medicine, University of California, and all these medical research hospitals showing that this stuff is just bad. And then I started pulling out the stuff from the 70s showing that when they were doing research on animals, and they were keeping track of the guys in the industry, that the guys in the industry were getting diabetes as fast as the animals. And they dropped the ball. And now in 2016, researchers are starting to look at styrene and diabetes again. But they knew it back in 79. And in 1980, they were doing research on, and it was in India, but now the three of the specialists in India now live in North America, one in Toronto and two in the U.S., and one's a doctor up in Boston that did this. But they were really concerned at the effects on the human brain and in the organs, because styrene affect the serotonin level, which is a neurotransmitter in the body, by 62.5%. And that's where a lot of the depression and mental, because it affects the way we function. And other researchers have used that paper to do even more in more research on it, to figure out exactly how it affects the body and so forth. And that's where we're getting the stuff from Harvard School of Medicine, University of California, University of Pittsburgh. So we have a lot of that out there. The other problem I have, and I talked to Congressman Faso about, well, his staff, not him, is that the FDA, when they know that they got these two petitions to eliminate styrene as a food additive along with eight other chemicals, they turned around and put a thing on their website. Now, how many medical researchers have time to troll the FDA website to find out what they're having problems with? You know, these medical researchers are focused on trying to fix a problem. They're not scanning websites to see if there is a problem, you know. And the only ones, and I try to explain this to the staff of Congressman Fossil, the only ones looking at these websites are the lobbyists that are trying to keep these chemicals back in population. The styrene lobby halted the styrene upgrade from possible carcinogen to anticipated to be a carcinogen for over 5 years. They kept it in court before that. Now they're holding up another upgrade. So these are the people that are looking at the website saying, how do we fix this? It's like Dark Container knowing that you were talking about having a bill. You know, they
showed up.
They scan all the papers and everything. But the only thing they can't do is fight the medical evidence. They can fight the environmental evidence, but they cannot fight the medical evidence. So once you put the medical evidence out there, and it gets into the bill, they have to walk away. And Dark Container, when I was fighting with them over there, said that, well, it makes no difference. You ain't going to put us out of business. We make both kind of containers. Well, why would you make a container that causes medical problems and prefer to use that over the stuff that don't? It makes no sense.
So there's plenty of evidence on the medical side. What is the evidence locally? When Albany County passed the bill, when Dutchess and Ulster, was there were restaurants closing? Were restaurant prices shooting through the roof?
No.
Was there any problem?
No. In all the bills that have passed countywide in New York State, there's been no substantial effect on businesses themselves. They're not going out of business. They found other venues for finding materials which could be used for packaging, and they've exist. They still exist. And I think in the case of Greene County, we're just a little bit behind the eight ball, but we can catch up quickly. All great change starts with a few dedicated people, and I think the people who listen to this radio station, Mr. Lake and myself, we're going to push the issue with our state assemblyman, our state senator, and, of course, John Faso's office. We'll see that there's an impact on health not profit when it comes to the use of styrofoam. And I think in the long run, we will win this out. It may take a few more counties to adopt banning styrofoam packaging, but it doesn't ban styrofoam, just, you know, because still used for insulation and things of that nature. That's another long-term concern later on. But in terms of food packaging, one simple aspect of the use of styrofoam is where we're going to start in Greene County. And I think after that, the effects of it, and whether it's soundproofing or insulation, is going to have to be determined by somebody else. That's beyond where we are right now. So we're not trying to ban the entire industry. We're just trying to make it more acceptable to the use of human food consumption. And that's what we're going to be working on in the next few months.
And if you just tuned in, we're talking to Bill Lawrence, the Greene County legislator from Cairo, and Charles Lake about styrofoam. And I know you got to go. I got two quick questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Otherwise, and one, you know, one's on the jail, so how can it possibly be a quick question?
But it's true.
We had Aidan O'Connor here a couple weeks ago and asked him this. I couldn't really get a straight answer out of him, so maybe I can get a straight answer out of you. But
always.
It doesn't sound like, to me, there are votes there to put the facility in Coxsackie, and it doesn't sound like to me there are votes there to put the facility in Columbia County. So is the state going to intervene, or what is going to happen?
The state essentially has already intervened. They've told us that our jail is no longer adequate to house prisoners according to the new standards. Our jail is over 100 years old. It has a lot of problems, which we've been trying to repair or keep repaired over the years. It's at this point now closed. We had a huge structural defect, which may cause it to collapse at some point with either a high wind or a tremor of some type of the earth. So we had to move all the inmates out. We sent them to other counties, and now the it's essentially closed down. The only thing we have there is a processing station to bring in new inmates, process them, send them somewhere else. The argument, which is called the stalemate, this caused the stalemate with the legislators, is the fact that some of them feel that we should share a jail with Columbia County, which is currently illegal in New York State. The Commission of Corrections does not allow a shared facility at this point. It would take a substantial act by the New York State Legislature to override some 35, 40 rules or laws that are now in existence to make that shared possibility happen. We also have looked at building a new facility in Coxsackie. That facility would be built on 50 acres, which the governor of New York State gave us for a dollar to build a new structure there. It would take infrastructure work. It would also, we've hired architects and we've hired a construction manager to oversee the project. And at this point now, we're looking at a $44 million facility. That's the infrastructure.
Well, $67 million, counting the interest, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm only talking about the basic cost. And then, of course, interest payments over 30 years would add up onto that. And again, the number's not determined yet. The construction number nor the interest number is not determined yet, because at this point we're nowhere. We've gotten nothing in hand. We did have a bond, or we did have a resolution to go with the USDA for their low interest bonding, but that of course expires next March. So if we haven't done anything, that money will have to be redone. So the two groups, the ones that were shared, the ones that were built, cannot come to a compromise, and we're still trying to get that compromise. Me, personally, I don't think a shared facility is a good idea, only because law enforcement is steeply affected, because they would have to travel to Hudson, to their jail, to drop off a prisoner, process them, then come back to Greene County to do law enforcement. It would be a transportation nightmare. In Greene County, we have correction officers that would then be laid off, and they would be doing that transportation after the inmate has been processed. They'd be in Hudson. The correction officers, which people think we would save money by laying them off, would not happen, because those correction officers would then have to transport those same prisoners back and forth to courts in Greene County. You can't send them to Columbia County for incarceration and then have them go to court in Columbia County. They got to come back to Greene, go through the process of adjudication, and then have that inmate sentenced to whatever time they're going to serve in jail. That is, again, a transportation nightmare. And it's not free. Whatever we do in Columbia County is going to cost the Greene County taxpayers essentially the same amount of money as it would take to build a new facility, because you're going to have to pay Columbia County a cost per inmate to feed and house them. You're going to have to pay Columbia County a capital cost portion, because they're going to have to build a new facility to keep all the inmates in tow. that is not present right now. And they are located on a site which had a massive landfill, massive landslide last year.
Recently, yeah.
It was huge, very close to the prison, to the jail itself. So where are they going to build it is the other question. So the ones that have wanted us to do the feasibility study for $30,000, should we build a jail in Columbia County, or should we look at sharing a jail? There's no need to spend that $30,000 for a feasibility study. I can tell you the answer right now. Yes, you can do it. You can build an addition to that jail there. It's going to cost you a lot of money, but it can be done. Why spend the $30,000 to find that out? And I'm also opposed to spending that money to find out anyway, because I don't think it's a good idea to begin with.
But you think any specific legislators are going to flip their votes? It seems like I started my premise that there's a deadlock right now, and that
right.
The two sides are entrenched.
We are absent one vote from making the bonding possible. There are five people who are in favor of a shared, or at least looking at a shared facility, and there are nine that are looking at building a new facility here in Greene County, which was where the two task force that I've served on were headed towards. You know, we looked at all the problems other jails had, and we tried to eliminate those in our own. And if we can, and I think that to change the mind of one of my five colleagues would take either a decision to reduce the price, or a decision to keep the administration of the jail or the sheriff in Catskill, or a decision to come up with some compromise with Columbia County. So at this point, none of that has happened yet. We're still working on it. We hope to have something done by the end of the summer so that we can go one direction or the other.
And finally, Memorial Day is this weekend, and there's another ceremony in the park Monday. Is that
the town of Carroll has its annual parade and ceremony on Monday, June or May 28th? Starts at 11 o'clock. The parade is going to come from, I think, Dunkin' Donuts down through to the town park. Everybody's invited to attend that, and of course, the day hopefully will be nice out. They have the veterans who deserve all of the praise we can give them for being a part of our freedom here. It's something that we should certainly take part in. It's only about an hour of your day. It's not a big deal. However, I think it's well worth the investment of time to make sure that our veterans are certainly...
Yes, we'll give them a big hand. and Charles, if somebody wants to do something about styrofoam, what can they do? Should they call FASA? Should they call their other Greene County legislators?
They should call all their legislators, whether it be county, state, or federal, preferably all three. If they want to find out more information about polystyrene or the chemical styrene, they can go to YouTube. I have a YouTube channel that is Consider This with Charles Lake, and I broke down some of the side effects. I'm not finished with it yet, but it shows... I have a screen reader, so you can actually read the documents. And if you don't want to listen to my voice, you can mute me and just go ahead and read it and pause it so that it don't jump all over on you. And so you can learn all these documents and see exactly. And I use different graphics from different colleges to show exactly how it affects your body.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Charles Lake and Bill Lawrence, for coming in. I know you got to go, but thanks for stopping by and telling us all about styrofoam, and happy Memorial Day.
You too, sir.
Take care.
All right.